Well, I'm going to speak on the passage I read this morning to you. And actually, I'm not going to speak on the passage as a whole. I've made a basic mistake, which some preachers do often make, is that in their preparations, they get so focused on the attention of their first point that they spend two-thirds of their sermon focusing on their third point, you see, which was the wisdom section of this passage. And then they realise, oh, dear me, there's another two-thirds to go. So what do? They squeeze their fourth and third, fifth and sixth point into the last 30 minutes of their sermon. So that's my apology, right? Having done that, I decided for my benefit and your benefit to cut the bottom two-thirds of my sermon out. It doesn't make any difference to the length, but it does make a difference to what you hear about this morning. So it means that James's prophetic word to people in chapters 4 onwards, you get to look at in your house groups and study for yourself. It is in the house groups. That's me just getting away with blue murder, isn't it, really? But it's making you do a bit of work as well. James does a lot of thinking about how we apply the wisdom of God into our lives. We've noticed this feature before. He is incredibly practical. In fact, that's one of the challenges of preachers. There's not a lot to understand about James. It's all about how to live the life. So you read it, you go, and you do. You read, you go, and you do, you see. It's not a lot of listening to be done. So let's sing our final hymn, shall we, and go home. But he does set this whole thing in the context of wisdom. He said, look, you should be, firstly, you should be asking for wisdom. You should be asking God for wisdom. He says in chapter 1, doesn't he? He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, chapter 1, verse 5, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and that wisdom will be given to you. That's the first thing we find about James and wisdom. Ask God for it. We should be people and can be people who can come to the generous resource of God and ask him for guidance and direction and understanding in situations. You know, I've often been in situations where with people, I've just not known the answer. I felt bombarded by the situation, the overwhelming nature of the problem. And, you know, after I've struggled with this for a few days, I've decided to pray about it. You know, this is how spiritual people are, isn't it? You know, struggle with something for 3 or 4 days and then pray about it. So after about 10 minutes of praying about it, insight comes. And it's often an insight that is quite different from the problem you're thinking about. As if God is saying, you're looking here, Douglas, at this. Actually, the issue is over here with this person here. It's not to do with what they're doing. It's to do with their experience of life. And that becomes insight for us. James says, if you lack this insight, beg God for it, because he gives generously to it. When we think about God's wisdom, we're often thinking about the book of Proverbs. I suggest that to you because you're not thinking about it at the moment, but you will do now. All right. That wonderful section of scripture where Solomon is talking to his son, and this is the imagination, or a parent with his child or her child, and they say, this is how life is. You need firstly to gain understanding for your life. And that is the whole nature of wisdom. You need to understand how it works. So Solomon says in Proverbs 2, verse 9, then you will gain understanding of what is right and just and fair and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guide you or guard you, protect you. Wisdom gives us understanding. Secondly, the proverb says that wisdom is like a map which can navigate us through life. You know, have you been lost? Not knowing where you're going? You're in a city and you just don't know the direction where you need to be going, or you're in the countryside and your sat nav's plucked up and it's taking you to a field when you thought it was taking you to somewhere else. You know? God's wisdom is a sat nav that doesn't go wrong. He knows exactly where to take you. It is a navigation for life. It gives us understanding and it navigates us for life. So it says in chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 12 to 13, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men and women, from men whose words are perverse, who have left straight paths and live in dark ways. Wisdom will guide us and will give us understanding, and it will protect us from the dangers in the world in which we live in, from making the choice that is wrong or right and keeping us from danger. In Proverbs, there are two women. The women, a woman, wisdom, and the woman, death. And the woman on the wisdom stands out in the street and says, come and follow me and you will know life. The woman on the street says, come in me, not telling you that my house is a house of death. That is the two options with wisdom, isn't it? So it gives us understanding. It navigates us through life. It protects us from danger. And it helps us to understand how the good life works from God's point of view. And that's why wisdom often is full of exhortations on the one hand, do this, and warnings on the other, don't do this. And James is full of that in chapter 4, isn't he? He is warning people, don't do this. He is encouraging people, draw near to God. Humble yourself before God and he will exalt you. Key words behind wisdom are discerning, being prudent and being judicious. Making the right choices. Judicious and what you do with your washing material. I just wanted to get out. It's not hands that judicious. It's heart that chooses the right way and makes the right judgment for our lives. And that's why it's very important for our children to be guided by wisdom, to have their inner life that, as it were, set around the compass of God's way, getting back to the navigation analogy, so that they have an internal setting in their inner being to know right from wrong, discern truth from error, and to walk freely before God. And I'm really very impressed that this kind of knowledge of God is completely for all. It's for everybody. It's wonderfully egalitarian and not in the least elitist, you know. It's not simply for all for people who are very clever with worldly knowledge, not people just who are articulate in their faith, but I'm very impressed by people who have no educational background at all, have an impressive knowledge of what's right and wrong before God if they're Christians, you know, and can tell you and say, this, Doug, is wrong. What you're doing is not right. How do they know that? They know that because they know the wisdom of God. This wisdom is for everybody. You don't have to be a member of Mensa. You don't even need to misspell it. You just need to know this God. Just have a heart open to God himself and to his way, to gain his perspective and insight into the life from God that works. And that's why James asks, who is wise and understanding among them, among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual and demonic. In this passage, verses 13 to 17, James gives us another diagnostic tool about our life. You remember he gives us a diagnostic tool in chapter 1. One of the diagnostic tools is analysing temptation and its life cycle and recognising when it's working in your life. Here he gives another tool for diagnosis. He makes quite a distinction between understanding the root of a thing by its fruit, understanding its motivation from understanding its effects. And so he's talking here about the fruit of a thing and its source and its root. The root of a thing is either, is it from heaven or is it earthly? Is it peace-loving or is it angry and bitter? Let's just unpack that a bit. What is the fruit and the root of foolishness or unwise living? Well, he says the fruit of it is bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast or deny the truth. And that's a way of analysing the root of it. What is the root of that kind of activity? The root of bitterness, selfish ambition, and anger. Well, the root or the source of it is the wisdom not from heaven, but simply from earth. It's the wisdom of worldliness that seeks its way of doing things. It's the wisdom of worldliness that suggests we do things this way by power. We know the effect of it by prosperity. People who have lived this life according to the worldly way are successful, and that is how you know they're living the good life. Looking at the doing of a thing rather than doing right of a thing. So James says, how can you know what is from heaven? How can you know the root of godliness? Well, he says, you know it by its fruit. What is the fruit of, or the root of heaven? Well, the wisdom that comes from above is literally from God. Its fruit is first of all pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's full of mercy and of good fruit, impartial and sincere. Wisdom here is a great tool for diagnosing ourselves. And I would say that, you know, when you get an idea in your head and you think, oh, this really works, you know, I now understand myself a lot better. You know, I know by my actions that when I'm kind of feeling anger and aggressive and fretful, it's because of something on here in the inside, and I'm not connecting truly what God wants. I'm connecting more with what I want. And once we get that worked out in our minds, we begin to use it on other people, don't we? So this is a great diagnostic tool, not for each other, but for ourselves. Because if you use it on each other, you'll only be creating these problems. Adam, your problem is this, right? And I can see it very clearly now because you're not rooted to God, you unspiritual character. Go off, anything like that. That's right. No, that's not what the tool is for. It's to analyse our own sense of way. But it is a very important way of analysing the source of movements and actions. Movements that create bitterness, anger, rage, and seek revenge are probably not linked to the root of the one who says, love your neighbour. Seek the best for your enemy. Do you see what I'm saying here? There has been activities and events in our society, in Western culture, that have been people who are so overwhelmed by their belief systems, their ideas, and their emotions, that this led them into very dark paths and very destructive behaviour, particularly this weekend. That's where the darkness overwhelms them, John says. If we live in the light, he says, there's a source. We need the light to pull us out of the darkness of our life and our human experience. We need the light of Jesus to pull us out of the darkness of our societal behaviour. We need not become overwhelmed by foolishness, anger, and rage in our society. So there it is. Wisdom and the way James uses it is a very helpful way of measuring the value of a thing and the source of a thing. Jesus says almost the same thing, doesn't he? He says, watch out for false prophets or movements of Pharisaism. It says, they come in like sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ferocious and wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree does not bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. by their fruit you will recognize them. So seek wisdom. Seek the source of it, which is God. Live in him. Spend your time with him. Ask for his discernment, his insight, his way. And by that you will know peace in yourself and in your communities. You will know mercy and generosity. This is how we measure the root of a thing. Does an idea produce peace? Does it produce mercy? Does it produce generosity? Does it produce love in us? But more often than not, wisdom simply comes from the experience of life and how we respond to the very powerful impact of life upon us. On May the 8th, I was at a funeral service, the Thanksgiving service of Sam Willis. He's the grandson of Eric and Elizabeth Avery, and we saw a slide of commemoration to him last week, I think. He's a nephew of Julian, and also the son of Matt and Ross Willis. At the age of one, Sam contracted meningitis, which left him with severe brain damage and multiple disabilities. Not able to speak, hardly able to hear. Both immobility in his hands and his feet. After 14 years of loving care from his parents, Matt and Ross, and a wonderful support system, Sam died. And this was his Thanksgiving service. During the service, his mum, Ros, paid a tribute to Sam. And I have to say, it's one of the things that's really stayed with me in these 8 weeks afterwards. And I think the nature of the tribute will stay with me for many years. You will hear it, and we're going to play it in a few minutes or a minute or so. It'll be very easy for you to be moved by it, because it is very moving. But I want you to be touched by the power of it. Because one of the things it does is it demonstrates a powerful wisdom whereby God speaks through incredible weaknesses. His mum pays this tribute simply about how Sam helped her to become more godly and at the same time become more human throughout his life. It's an audio tape produced by a devotional program. One of the people at the funeral Thanksgiving service was Mr. David Cranston. He led prayers. He also runs a devotional program on Radio Oxford. And so this is a clip of that. So we're going to show, as a background, a PowerPoint along with the audio. So listen to this tribute. How did you do it, Sam? Thank you very much.
Never be quite the same. But his mother wrote some wonderful words which were read out at the funeral, and she gave me permission to read those today. How did you do it, Sam? You lived with us these few years, but taught me so much. You had no words, but taught me to listen, to feel, to care, and to love. Unable to assert yourself, yet you challenged me to think and work through my faith more than any philosopher. Without a voice, you trained me to look at things in perspective, that nothing was worth more than investing in relationships. Never in a hurry, you guided me to be quick to forgive. You were no poet, but inspired me to love your dad, brother, and sister more completely. For this chatty mum, you showed me that to do isn't always desirable, that to be is sufficient, and that in the silence a smile can be enough. And so, Sam, as you move from this world to the next, I pray that your lessons on life will continue. How did you do it, Sam? A boy who, in the world's eyes, had so little to give, but gave so much. Our second hymn today by John Newton.
That was very quick. We probably put that into Touchstone so you can read it for yourself. Very powerful words, how somebody who was immobile could speak powerfully to somebody else who was caring. You had no words and you taught me. Unable to assert yourself, you challenged me. Without a voice, you trained me. Never in any hurry, you guided me. You were no poet, but you inspired me. How did you do it, Sam? A boy in the world's eyes had so little to give, and yet gave so much. That's wisdom, isn't it? It's learning through the human experience how to discern God's direction for our lives and also how to live as a human being. And I worry about forms of spirituality that seeks to run away from the human experience. I really do. God isn't given to us so that we not be touched by life. He is given that we might embrace life and be touch it through him and become more human. Ross discovered their humanity through the caring for somebody who couldn't care for herself, themselves. We often meet our needs through the care of others and find our help in doing that. We learn God's perspective through human weakness. None of this explains why suffering happens, not in the least. But it is our wisdom that comes from above and is given by God. Let's sing together our final song.